A lot of the economy and a lot of the study of economics involves a lot of math, and it can be studied using rationality. What is the unemployment rate? How fast is an economy growing? How wealthy is a country?
But there is a force in the economy that kind of defies explanation and rationality. This force has a name, pretty awesome name, and it is called animal spirits.
I love your enthusiasm here.
I love animal spirits.
And the term animal spirits has been coming up a lot lately.
We can rekindle animal spirits. In other words,
I like that there's this black cloud on the horizon that we're focused on. I think it keeps animal spirits in check.
Regulation, tax reform, animal spirits for the markets, all these things that happened in the first couple of years of the Trump presidency.
And as a concept, animal spirits can be a little nebulous, hard to grasp, and difficult to quantify.
But they can also be powerful. They can move markets. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. Today on the show, animal spirits. What are they and what role do they play in the economy?
And why are they so controversial among economists?
Support for The Indicator and the following message come from Michigan Economic Development Corporation. See why Michigan is attracting top talent and top businesses by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
To answer our questions about animal spirits, we thought we'd talk to the guy who literally wrote the book on the subject.
Robert Shiller, professor of economics at Yale University.
That is Shiller of the Case-Shiller Housing Index, the same Shiller. He has won a Nobel Prize, and he's also the co-author of a book called Animal Spirits.
That's an old term. So the term goes back to ancient Greece, 3rd century BC, that physicians in Greece talked about pneuma psychikon. That means animal spirit. They translated it later into Latin, and they called it spiritus animalis. Galen, the great ancient Roman physician, used that term.
What did they mean, like, when it was a medical term?
Well, back then, they thought it was the driving force, the animating force that came from the brain, and it passed through the nerves and enlivened you.
It was like chi or something?
Maybe.
Your conversation with Robert Shiller took a strange turn, I gotta say.
It did not. It was not what I expected. It was so much more awesome and delightful.
Well, a couple thousand years after Galen was writing about spiritus animalis, the term was picked up by the very famous economist John Maynard Keynes.
But it was Keynes who gave it more precise meaning in terms of economics. In his 1936 book, The General Theory of Employment, Interest, and Money, it's a very forbidding title. But he had a chapter in that book on long-term expectations, and it made a very profound point, which I don't think had been adequately made before, and that is that most of our really important economic decisions have to do not with tomorrow or the day after, but the long term. You know, what is it going to do to our career, our lifetime, our children? Like if I'm investing in the stock market or I'm investing in an education, I'm thinking about the more distant future. And Keynes said, you know what? We just don't know the future. And we have to guess.
Yeah.
And we have to base our important decisions on hunches. And I'm not quoting them word for word.
Yeah, the reason he doesn't quote it word for word is that if the book General Theory had a forbidding title, that full quote where Keynes uses animal spirits is super forbidding.
Yes, I was reading the chapter. It's very dense.
Yeah.
Very dense.
But here's one way to think about animal spirits in the way that Keynes intended. Let's say you are looking to buy a house with a 30-year mortgage. Well, part of the decision of whether to buy or not is rational. You pick the house in a good school district, and the house has enough bedrooms for your family. The price of the house is just right. You can afford that big down payment, and you got a good interest rate.
But Keynes says a lot of this decision kind of goes past rationality. I mean, think about that. A 30-year mortgage? A lot can happen in 30 years. What if you get divorced? What if you have another child and need a bigger house? What if there's a huge earthquake and the house is destroyed? What if there's a recession and your house goes down in value? What if you lose your job and you can't make your mortgage payments? What if you hate your job but you can't quit because you have to make mortgage payments?
If you were really coldly logical, you would just vegetate. There's no way to make a decision. You would do nothing. But somehow, the human spirit doesn't allow that, or at least not all the time. And then eventually it comes over you, you know what? I'm going to make this investment. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to take a chance. This is an impulse. It's called animal spirits. He says it drives business.
Keynes wrote that animal spirits are a spontaneous urge to action rather than inaction.
Yeah, they're like an economic life force, the thing that pushes us to get over ourselves and get over our anxieties and just buy the house or buy the car or take the trip. Animal spirits, says Keynes, help drive the economy. Animal spirits are kind of like our feelings, our level of confidence in the future and in the present.
Robert says that when people are feeling scared or cautious, like when the economy is not doing so well, animal spirits will run kind of low. When that happens, people will hold back their spending. They'll save money. They'll shy away from buying a new house or a new car or taking a trip. Robert says low animal spirits are really hard on the economy.
And what about when at moments that things are overheated, like before the financial crisis, like taking out loans they can't really afford and buying way more house than they can, or maybe buying right. extra houses and flipping it? Is that like excess animal spirits?
Absolutely. That's what we call it. That's bubble thinking.
And Robert thinks that the present moment is kind of interesting because we're at a stage of history where animal spirits can be spread really rapidly.
Because now we're getting people much more connected through the internet.
So maybe animal spirits are becoming stronger?
That would be my guess, yeah, at this point in history.
Robert says because we can express our feelings on a bigger platform, we can more easily connect to people who share our optimism or pessimism, and that can make our feelings more powerful and more global really quickly. Animal spirits can gain momentum very fast.
And there are, by the way, some indicators that try to measure animal spirits, like consumer sentiment or consumer confidence. These are indexes that try to monitor how people are feeling. Are people feeling the powerful animal urge to consume, to buy stuff, or are they feeling a bit cautious?
In spite of these measures and the attention that they get from the markets, you often hear about consumer confidence and consumer sentiment. Robert says a lot of economists tend to give animal spirits like a little bit of side eye. Animal spirits, you know, they're squishy. It's feelings and psychology. And there are a lot of economists who think people way overestimate animal spirits and that economics should focus on the things that can be measured more accurately, on rational decisions, on logic.
Robert says that feelings about animal spirits have caused kind of a rift in the field of economics. He says that math-based economists and the, I guess, animal spiritists.
Yeah, I like that. I like animal spiritists.
They don't often agree with each other. But he says, actually, they need each other. They should listen to each other.
I always liked economics, and I liked mathematical economics, but it seemed like it had to also incorporate psychology. But when you come to some questions like what moves the whole economy, it's such a complex question that the over-specialization may make it impossible. The sociologists can't do it by themselves because they're not don't know enough economics. And the economists can't do it without the sociologists.
It is kind of nice in certain ways that it's not so easy to quantify the economy. It would be so much less interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know? It would be sad if you could do the whole thing in a math equation.
Yes. Yeah, it would kind of destroy my sense of human worth, too, right?
Right? Right, if we're just calculators.
Also, we might not have jobs, Stacey.
I definitely wouldn't have a job.
We. Maybe. The world needs the economy explained to them.
If we are just calculators, I am not a very good human. I will tell you that.
That's ridiculous.
Robert Shiller has a new book coming out in October that looks at another aspect of animal spirits. It's called Narrative Economics, and it looks at the economic stories we tell and the power that those stories can have.
This podcast was produced by Darius Rafieyan, edited by Patty Hirsch, and fact-checked by Emily Lang. The Indicator is a production of NPR.
I'm Gregory Warner. On Rough Translation, we follow a rescue mission in real time. After an Iraqi photojournalist goes missing on the front lines.
We don't believe it. I don't believe it.
He leaves his family and his friends to try to save him.
When he said, "Who is this?" or like, "Who are you?" They respond, "We are the Islamic State."
From NPR's Rough Translation, listen and subscribe.